John chapter 12 and verse 23. The Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 23. Obviously, today is the first day of spring. It's Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of what all over the world people call a Holy Week. It is a time when a lot of people, especially Christian people all over the world, are thinking about, focused on what Jesus did in that last week to lay down his life for all of us. When he traveled on that little colt, rode that little colt in Jerusalem, the people were shouting, Hosanna. People were thrilled, but many of them were thinking that he was a different kind of a king. It really reveals just how fickle that people are, because just a few days later they're saying, crucify him. People don't like to do it God's way. But God's way and his plan is the only way. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. That verse, that last verse, to me, is a verse that's always captured me and always caused me to pause to think about the fact that Jesus said, when I'm lifted up from the earth, talking about his crucifixion, that there was going to be power in that event on Calvary that was going to be the most attractive, powerful event in all of human history. Praise God. So I know that a lot of today is the theme in Sunday school, some of the songs, but today we're talking about the cross and the attraction of the cross. I know that the cross is like a symbol of Christianity. It's an ornament. A lot of times in churches, we have a cross right at the top of our church. If you've noticed, at the spire, at the top of the spire, there is a small cross, and then you can hardly see it from the ground, but there is, coming right out of the top of that cross, is a lightning rod. And so I've often said, hopefully the cross will save us from the lightning. One time it didn't, but hopefully the way it is now, we'll be saved from the lightning by the cross. But the cross is an ornament sometimes in churches. Some people have wear it around their neck. It's like an ornament that someone would wear, a piece of jewelry maybe, not necessarily a crucifix. A crucifix still has Jesus on the cross. And so the symbol of the Christian church is the cross absent the body of Jesus. We don't kiss a crucifix or worship any emblem. That's simply, as the song says, an emblem of suffering and shame. And so we know that the cross is a Christian emblem, but it's also a focal point in the Scripture. From the Old Testament all the way, everything in the Old Testament is pointing to that day when Jesus is going to lay his life down on Calvary. Everything in the New Testament points back to that event. So it's kind of like the apex. It's the central, most important message. Jesus came into to the city on that little colt that day, and there was no surprise to him. He knew the events of that week. He knew where he was headed. He knew that that was a ride toward the cross. And everything about the life of Jesus was a ride toward, a moving forward toward the cross of Jesus Christ. So why would we say that the cross is attractive? Why did Jesus say that when I'm lifted up, all men are going to be drawn to that? They're going to be drawn to the power of the cross. It's really a strange thing to even try to conceive of that, because the death and the on the cross, a crucifixion, was probably one of the most horrible, gruesome ways that they would execute criminals or those that weren't necessarily in line with their cause in the Roman system. Why did they crucify criminals and enemies of their cause? Well, it was a form of not only execution, but torture. Because most of the time it took not one day or sometimes many days before that man or woman or whoever that was being crucified would die on the cross. So it was painful. It was an awful, horrible death that usually ended with their suffocation, when they were no longer weak enough to hold their body up and they would collapse and suffocate and die. Now, in Jerusalem and all throughout Palestine, crucifying people at this time was not an uncommon thing. They say that there were probably, history bears out, that there were probably as many as 30,000 people that were crucified in Palestine by the Romans. And so it probably was not an uncommon thing to see a cross and to see a body hanging on the cross for a few days. It was a horrible, horrible thing for someone to suffer. Not only was it a cruel form of execution, but it was also a horrible way to humiliate that person too, because they were stripped of their clothes and abused and put up in a position on a cross, usually on a major road, a major pathway. And we know that Jesus was crucified in a place where roads were like a crossroads. There is where Christ was crucified, there at Calvary. So to humiliate too. So why would we ever think something so horrible as the cross? For those of you who have seen some of these productions, Hollywood productions about the crucifixion, it's awful. It's gruesome. And a few years back, The Passion of the Christ, I don't know how long after, maybe a year after that it came out, I got a copy of the DVD. I saw the DVD, and it was all about his crucifixion and his sufferings and the cross. It was horrible. It was almost more than you could stand to view. I believe that's exactly the kind of a death that Jesus suffered. So why would that ever be something that's attractive? What could be the attraction? Why would Jesus say, when I'm lifted up, it's going to have the power to draw people, to attract people to that image? You know, the cross is something it's despised by men today in most public areas. It's removed. I know that in many military chapels, the cross is removed now. In many public places, there's an offense to the cross. So there's something to be said for the fact that the world doesn't want the cross to be public. They don't want it to be obvious, because it is an immediate reminder of what Jesus did. It's an immediate reminder of the price that he paid and the horribleness of the death of Jesus Christ. The cross has been removed from public places. Los Angeles removed it from their seal that had been a part of their city seal for generations. They had the cross removed. Even a major denomination decided to remove the cross from all of its advertising for the Holy Week. Can you imagine that they didn't want the cross there. One pastor of a large church said that there would be no cross inside or outside of his church or his worship center. And he said that there was no crosses there because it was a deliberate choice to not have it there. We don't want people coming in here and to feel guilty about their sins. Now that's the weird, strange concept that has come to place in a culture that we live in right now, and even in a religious world where people are trying to keep people from being confronted with the fact that they're a sinner. And they want people to feel good about themselves, and they want the church service and the worship service and everything about the preaching in the service to be a time where people feel better and they're encouraged, and it's all to lift them up and to encourage them. But we have to remember that the cross is a very pointed message. The message is that Jesus so loved the world, he so cared about you that he was willing to die and to pay the ultimate, most horrible, gruesome price. And that's how serious that God looks at your sin and my sin. And so we need to be reminded of that and recognize that the cross, while it is a gruesome and a horrible thing, it is still a message. Even the cross in itself is so offensive to people that are in the world and are thinking like the world that it's obvious the cross has power. Amen. It has power. Glory to God. The cross doesn't comfort us. The cross confronts us. When we come in contact with the cross of Jesus Christ, we're reminded of just how horrible our sins are and how much that our sins need to be washed away and cleansed, and that it's impossible. And the only way that our sin problem can be dealt with is through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross, he paid the price, and he did it because you were condemned to die. I was condemned to die. My sins were going to condemn me to death, but Jesus went to the cross. And so I'm attracted to the cross because I know it's the only way that I can be saved. Amen. And all over the world, people are attracted to the cross because of the message of hope that comes to them through Jesus Christ. I noticed as I was looking through, doing some researching on articles and sermons on the message of the cross, that most of them were related to preachers who preached generations ago. A lot of the sermons that I found and articles written on the cross that I found were from the 1800s and earlier. As the years have gone by, not nearly as many books have been written or messages preached on the message of the cross. And it's the enemy who is the liar who wants to deceive the church and the preachers of the gospel into being convinced that there's another way that men can come to Jesus Christ. And you might just say, I believe in Jesus, so do the demons, and they tremble at his name. You may say that I can accept the message of the gospel, but that's not all there is to it. You can believe, you can accept it as the truth, but there is something much more important. You have to come face to face with your sin, and that is what the cross does. The cross causes us to be reminded of the extreme sinfulness of our sins. And the only hope that we have is through Jesus Christ. And we're attracted to the cross because Jesus paid the price, and it's the only way that men can be saved. Not by trying to do better, trying to live better, not by turning over a new leaf, by your own efforts to live a better life. It was only through Jesus Christ. One sermon that I found was from Spurgeon, who Brother Bowman said this morning preached something like 600 sermons by the time he was 20 years old. Wow. Those guys wear me out when you read about them. And Wesley, who rode 2,400 or 24,000 miles on horseback, or rode all these miles and preached thousands of messages and carrying the banner of Jesus Christ and preaching the message of the cross. Spurgeon preached a message on the cross, and he called it the marvelous magnet. Amen. Look it up and read it. The marvelous magnet. He was an orator. I'm telling you, when you read his messages, they're just, they're powerful. They weren't extremely long, but they were powerful. And in the message, he talks about the Moravian missionaries who were sent out and went all over the world, but this group was sent to Greenland to preach the gospel. They went there, and people that they were preaching to, they said, didn't know anything about Jesus at all. They didn't know anything about the law of God, so they decided, first of all, to teach them about God and to teach them right from wrong and to let them know. And so they did. They taught them about God, who He was, and that He existed, and they taught them about the law of God, what was right and what was wrong. But even after years, something like 6 or 7 years, none of those Greenlanders were actually saved and born again. They heard all about God. They heard about the law of God and their wrong and right and what was right to do. But one day, one of the missionaries happened to read to one of the little inhabitants there, one of the little citizens of Greenland, the story of Jesus bleeding on the cross and how that God had sent His Son to die. And the man stopped the missionary and said, "Would you read that again to me? What wonderful words. Did the Son of God die for us poor Greenlanders that we might live?" The missionary answered that it was even so. And the Greenlander clapped his hands and he said, "Why did you not tell us that before? You told us about God. You told us about the law of God and that we were what we should do and should not do, but you didn't tell us about the fact that Jesus had paid the price for our sins. All you've done is told us about the law of God. The law of God, it has the power to bring a person to the cross. It has to make a person aware of his sinfulness. The law is a schoolmaster that teaches us of our wrong, but it's the message of the cross that gives hope to people that are bound in their sin." Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. I'm telling you, the message of Jesus is the message that causes people to rejoice, to know I can't do anything about the power of my own sin. But when I come to Jesus and I come face to face with the cross and all that He did that I might be saved, then that gives me hope that I can be forgiven of my sins. Praise God. Forgiveness of sins. Not only forgiveness of sins, but set free from the power of sin and the penalty of sin that comes to us through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for the day that you and I came face to face with the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. We realized that we were sinners. We realized that we were away from God and we were desperate in our circumstance and we needed a Savior to forgive us and to set us free. The cross is attractive because of the weightiness of sin. Let me tell you, the way of a transgressor is hard, and the life of a sinner is a life of the burden of sin. You carry it with you. Yesterday, Seth and I knocked on a door. A lady came to the door and told us about some of her physical problems and that she had had a hip replacement, I believe it was, or repair after a fall, a surgery, and I noticed that as she invited us in, but she started apologizing. "I'm sorry, my house smells like smoke." And then she ran over and got the ashtray, and she tried to hide the ashtray. And I'm kind of used to that because people, when preachers come, they hide stuff. But anyway, I didn't tell them. I told Seth, I never tell them I'm the preacher because it gets them too shook up. I don't tell them. I just go to the door and tell them my name, and I don't tell them I'm the preacher because people react to preachers for some reason. But anyway, the cross is attractive because sin is a burden. Sin weighs you down. Sin is a life of burden. Let me tell you, if you're carrying a burden today and you've been saved, you've been born again, Jesus paid the price that you don't have to have that no more. That burden should be gone. It's only the enemy of your soul that puts that weight on you. It's only the enemy of your soul that wants to weigh you down with your life, with your sins, with your past. It should all be gone because of the cross. Amen. If you've come to Jesus Christ, you've confessed and repented of your sins, then give it to Jesus and let it be forgotten. Amen. And you forsake your sin and you believe that God has set you free from that. Reminded of the Pilgrim's Progress. You remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress that Christian, everywhere that he goes, he's carrying that burden on his back. Everywhere he goes, he's never free from that burden. But it finally, I'm just going to give you a little quote from Pilgrim's Progress. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side with a wall, and that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom a sepulcher. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosened from off his shoulders and fell from his back. Glory to God. Glory to God. And tumbled down away from down the hill. And the Christian was glad and lightsome and said with a merry heart, he hath given me rest by his sorrow and life by his death. Glory to God. Amen. If you've been carrying around a burden of sin and it's weighted you down, and you deal with the misery of guilt weighing heavily upon your shoulders, all you have to do is just go to the cross. Like the song says, just one look. That's all it takes. Just look to the cross and look to the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and understand that God wants to set you free from that burden, and you can live your life without the heaviness and the weightiness of sin. Now that's attractive to me. Amen. That's attractive to everyone that's loaded down with the burden of their sin. It's a wonderful thing to think that you could come to Jesus. You could stand before the cross. And at the cross, all of these things can be removed from your life, never to be remembered ever again. Glory be to God. Glory to God. The song, "The Old Rugged Cross, So Despised by the World, Has a Wondrous Attraction for Me." Hallelujah. "For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it on dark Calvary." That's the attractiveness about the cross. Amen. The world can't see it. The world doesn't comprehend it. They don't understand it. But once the gospel of Jesus is presented to them and it's preached to them or witnessed at their doorstep or wherever, The gospel has the power to change people's lives. It is the power of God unto salvation. The preaching of the cross. Amen. It is the power of God unto salvation. And so don't ever limit what God can do through the simple testimony of Jesus Christ to those that are lost, and let them know that they can be free from their sin. They can be saved and they can be delivered from the weightiness of sin in their life. Hallelujah. "Your rugged cross is so despised by the world, but it has a wondrous attraction for me." Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what that scripture means. It means that He loves so much that He was willing to lay down His life. Nobody took it. He laid it down. He laid down His life so that men could be saved and could be free from their sin. Hallelujah. I'm like many of you. I was raised up in church, and you know, I didn't do a lot of evil, wicked things, never drank alcohol, never got involved in a lot of things. But let me tell you, I was a young boy, and I felt the weight of my sin. I knew I wasn't right with God. I felt the weight of my sin, and I carried around for a good while. I wasn't perfect. I did things I shouldn't do, obviously. And that's what sinners sin. Don't be surprised by that. That's what sinners do. Sinners sin. But when they come to Jesus Christ, not only are they free from the weight of sin, but they're free from this compulsion to sin. That's of the flesh. That's of the old life. But you can be set free from the power and the penalty of sin in your life when you come to Jesus Christ. There's nothing in this world more attractive than the message of the cross. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. That's why we need to go. That's why we need to talk to people. That's why we need to preach every time we can. That's why we go to Sierra Leone. That's why we go to Belize. That's why we witness in our community. That's why you talk to your family and your loved ones that are lost. You pray for them, Lord, whatever it takes to bring them to that place that they're confronted with the gospel and with their extreme sinfulness. Amen. Then, Lord, you work in their life and bring them to the foot of the cross, whatever it takes. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful truth of your word. Thank you for this time of the year when you've given to us many open doors to share the gospel. And I pray today, Lord, that you would anoint every one of us, Lord, to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And I ask you, Lord, to speak today to those in this congregation, in this service, Lord, that they're carrying a heavy weight of sin. And they want to be free from that. They want the guilt to be gone. They want the weight of sin to be gone. I ask you, Lord, give them hope. Help them to see that through the cross, sure, they're being confronted with their sin. But Lord, let them see that they can come to the foot of the cross. They can confess their sins and repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, you can change their life. You can give them a real liberty and a real freedom. You can give them a joy that only the church knows about, that only believers can understand. So, Lord, today, I ask you, Lord, bring him to the foot of the cross. Let this week be a week, Lord, that people are confronted with their sin and they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.